when was the last time you saw something that took your breath away? A moment when you were captivated, shocked, and amazed by something exceptional, when you felt a sense of awe. Turns out these experiences can be really good for our well-being, an important part of how we navigate through life. And it doesn't take a trip around the world to find some awe in our own lives. In his new book, our guest shares years of research into the causes and benefits of awe, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. What is a sight, a sound, an experience, maybe a memory that filled you at some point with wonder, with awe? What did it feel like to you? What questions do you have about why we have this sensation, this emotion? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Dr. Keltner is professor of psychology at the University of California, Berkeley, director there of the Greater Good Science Center. His new book is called Awe, The New Science of Everyday Wonder and How It Can Transform Your Life. He started his academic career at UW-Madison. Dr., welcome to Central Time and welcome back to Wisconsin.
It's good to be with Packers and Badger fans out there, Rob. It really is. It's nice to be with you. Thanks.
Now, I think we all have a sense of what awe is, and some of us, like me, overword the use awesome. Can you define your working definition? What is awe?
Tough question, you know, and great thinkers have been grappling with this for thousands of years. And so to update it to contemporary times, we define, or I define awe as the emotion, as you said, Rob, in the introduction, that we feel in response to things that are vast and that transcend our understanding of the world or that are mysterious.
What led you to take this years-long interest in the sensation of awe?
Well, you know, part of it is personal. I grew up in a very awe-filled home in the late 60s. My mom taught literature and romanticism and Wordsworth and the like. My dad was a painter and loved Goya. And so I was just filled with the awe of the humanities. But I'm a scientist, and I, like Jane Goodall and Einstein and others, feel that in many ways this is the most essential human emotion, right? It is a fount of creativity and thinking about the future and the imagination and being part of a community. And so I wanted to study it scientifically and try to figure out what it does for us.
That seems like it's something that would be really hard to do. I don't know when I can predict awe is going to happen. It's probably not when I'm sitting in a lab with some researchers.
Yeah, and we failed a lot, you know, and we brought people into the lab, like, here's a big, you know, big screen image of fractals. And they're like, what is this guy doing? You know, so we relied on the wonders of the world. And we have studied people near Yosemite and looking out at great views, the Great Wall of China, you know, dancing, listening to music at festivals and the like. So we've gotten to awe spots, if you will, to try to understand what this emotion does for us.
And what I love about the research you've done also is that you've talked to people and interviewed people and gone on rafting trips and gone into prisons with people to try to figure out when they have awe. What are some of the common global themes that people talk about when it comes to sources of awe?
Yeah, you know, what a astute read of the book. Thank you. You know, I am a scientist and I rely on measurement and physiology, but I really felt like a lot of the measures didn't capture the spirit or essence of awe, this mysterious emotion. And so, like William James, a great American thinker, I started to gather stories. And I gathered stories from 26 countries around the world, from Mexico to India. I gathered stories from veterans and prisoners and indigenous scholars and ministers and the like. And what we found, and I think it's a great roadmap for our listeners to find more awe, is that you can find awe in eight wonders, which are people's moral beauty, their kindness and courage, nature, collective movement, when we all cheer for the Packers or the Badgers together, that's awe-inspiring. Music, visual design or art, and then spirituality. And then finally, our final two of the eight wonders are big ideas, right? Like the idea of free markets or Marxism or evolution. And then life and death, which really surprised us that we are awestruck by the beginning of life and we are awestruck by when it ends.
Talking to Dr. Keltner about his new book, Awe, The New Science of Everyday Wonder and How It Can Transform Your Life. You can call in if you have an awe-inspiring experience from your life to share with us, or a question about why we have the sensation, how to get there. Call 800-642-1234. Dr., I think I could have predicted, you know, nature, of course, music. Yeah, I feel that. The one that surprised me, I wouldn't have thought of, and it sounds like it's one of the most common ones, is moral beauty, seeing someone else do something good. And I was hoping you could expand on that.
Yeah, that caught us by surprise too. You know, I was expecting, you know, nature, spirituality to be kind of the core sources of awe around the world. But in fact, it's this interesting category called moral beauty where you see somebody be really kind. You know, they share their last few dollars with an unhoused individual. You see courageous acts. You know, we had act stories from the battlefield of soldiers and the like. You see people overcoming obstacles. I remember this mom from Ireland writing about her daughter who had was born with club feet. And there she was 12 years later watching her dance on stage and just crying and goosebumps and overcome with awe. And I think what that tells us, Rob, is we are wired to be moved to the better angels of our nature, to be good by the goodness of others. It's just this deep instinct, if you will, to tear up, to be moved, to want to do better when we observe others' moral beauty. So what a lesson for us, you know, in this time when we spend too much time looking at Instagram and comparing our vacation to the fancy retreat vacation of somebody else, to, you know, remember how much goodness there is out there.
And that's one of the most inspiring parts of the book, I thought, because, you know, I'm never going to do a painting that's going to cause awe. I'm a musician. Yeah. I'm not that good. But so note that my music isn't going to create awe. But if we want to find ways to inspire awe in other people, we do good stuff in front of them.
Yeah. And, you know, this is deep, right? The humans, when we observe other people share and speak on behalf of the people who are left out or downtrodden or act in a courageous way, we tear up, it activates our physiology, it activates regions of the brain that want us to lead us to imitate those actions, right? So in some sense, these are very contagious tendencies of other people's moral goodness spreading through communities. And then you start to answer one of the questions you raise, which is why awe? Because it spreads through communities' actions that make us strong together.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Steve is with us in Eau Claire. Steve, hi.
Hi. You know, I'm quite old. Decades ago, I realized that, you know, when you smoke some pot, you feel a general sense of awe. But then I wonder if that limits your ability to feel awe if you're not using drugs. I mean, this has been decades since I smoked pot, but I remember the sensation that, oh, my God, this is awesome. But then if you're not smoking pot, it takes, you know, a lot of time for that reservoir of the ability to feel awe to build back up again.
Interesting, Steve. Decker, a double-edged sword if we're seeking that feeling of awe in a substance.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, I tell you where this is really active in terms of people thinking about awe is in psychedelics, you know, the indigenous plant medicines, the synthesized LSD and the like. And awe is elicited by these substances. It in part accounts for their benefits. And for a lot of people, that's good news, right? If you're working with trauma or the like. But I always, you know, I think one of the lessons of the book is there are 8 pathways to awe, right? Be it nature, looking at a storm on a Wisconsin, you know, prairie, or, you know, watching virtue on the football field or the like. And let's not forget, you know, that how rich the opportunities for awe are in, alongside those who are interested in the effects of different kinds of drugs.
Steve, thanks for that call. We're talking to psychology professor Dacher Keltner about his new book. It's called Awe, The New Science of Everyday Wonder and How It Can Transform Your Life. We'll get into some of that transformation coming up, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about this sensation, this emotion we call awe? Do you have a moment to share in your life that you think back on? And yeah, that inspired awe. Or is there something you go to? Maybe it's nature or a piece of music or art, or you fill in the blank at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Dacher Keltner, psychology professor at the University of California, Berkeley. His new book is Awe, The New Science of Everyday Wonder and How It Can Transform Your Life. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions about awe and wonder, or maybe your own experiences, 800-642-1234. We'll go back to your calls now. Brad is with us in Glendale. Hi, Brad.
Hi, yes. Last week, my wife and I were in Rome for a few days, and I'd been there many years before, but we went to the Colosseum, and it was, I said I'd been there before, but I was awestruck, and my wife was. It was like, this is incredible. The engineering that's involved, it was like, wow, this incredible building. And then we were also struck by the fact that this incredible, awesome building was constructed so that people could enjoy human beings and animals kill each other.
Brad, thanks a lot for that call. And Decker, this overlap or neighborhood anyway between awe and horror is not uncommon, you write.
Not at all. I mean, you know, we took a lot of care to differentiate awe from other closely related states like beauty, which it's different from, you know, and horror. And, you know, the horror is about destruction and death, and awe is really about mystery and vastness, and they really can be pulled apart. And, you know, one of the really interesting veins of thinking is that we rely on spectacle in more brutal times in human history, like the, you know, the gladiator times where it was horrifying and people could take that in. And now we rely on, you know, artistic forms of horror, be it horror films or the like, just to kind of contemplate on these about these, the death and perils of human existence and how it initiates our sense of wonder about why it happens. So, you know, humans have always been contemplating horror in these kinds of places and hopefully stirring our better capacities for wonder.
Thanks a lot for sharing that experience, Brad, at 800-642-1234. Decker, I want to get into the benefits of experiencing awe. We get something out of it, apparently.
Oh, man. You know, this is why, in part, why I wrote the book, you know, Rob, because, you know, I've taught human happiness to tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people online and in classes and so forth. And it always boils down to a question, you know, of all this stuff in the new happiness literature, what can I do to better my life? And now, you know, I say, go find some awe. You know, awe makes you feel less stress, less physical pain. Veterans feel less trauma after a day of rafting for awe, as do under-resourced teenagers. You feel like you have more time. Your heart is functioning better. Your immune system has a better profile, and so on. So, you know, 5 minutes of awe is about as good for you as I think anything you can do, and important for us to remember.
Let's go back to our callers. Elizabeth is with us in Madison. Elizabeth, hi.
Hello. I actually have just I thought of a third example. The most awe moment of my life was 25 years ago when I gave birth to my child, my daughter. That definitely was awe. The variety, I'm always in awe when I look at the variety of different animals and insects and birds. It's just amazing to me. And then the last thing is, I'm in awe of our body systems and what's involved in the parts of the ear, the eye, our, you know, the lungs, everything. It's just amazing to me. So,
Elizabeth, thanks so much. Elizabeth Decker giving us, I think, a roadmap for a lot of the rest of our conversation here. First of all, the birth of her child. This is a common source of wonder and awe, it sounds like.
It is. And, you know, and I suspect Elizabeth is kind of an awe seeker with all
sounds
of those
like
examples. you know, around the world, people are awestruck by the emergence of a child, you know, 7 pounds coming out of the womb. Suddenly you have a life there. And what's really interesting in stories in China and Russia and Japan and the United States and Mexico and elsewhere is it really has this similar quality to it where people are awestruck by the birth of a child, and they want to serve, they want to be better, they want to feel responsible, they want to take care of things. And that's a common property of awe across the eight wonders. And we need more of it, right? We need to activate these, what William James called the saintly tendencies of humans to care. And it certainly comes full on in the birth of a child.
And she also mentioned a couple things. She mentioned the variety of animals together and the interconnected parts of the human body. And that takes me to actually a quote I wanted to throw at you here that I think is, well, anyway, I'll read it. Our default mind blinds us to this fundamental truth that our social, natural, physical, and cultural worlds are made up of interlocking systems. Experiences of awe open our minds to this big idea. This is from your conclusion. I hope it's not a spoiler. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of thinking about thinking that, you know, one form of thought is rational and reductionistic and analytical. It breaks things into its parts. And another kind of thinking is systems thinking. It sees the whole picture. It sees how different processes are working together. You look at an ecosystem, you know, the Arboretum in Madison, and you see all these systems working together of animals and flora and fauna. And awe opens us up to the big systems of life time and time again. Be it, you can have an experience in nature, right? You see a storm roll over the Wisconsin and you're like, wow, that was, and suddenly you see how you're part of a social system. I'm part of a community. And then Elizabeth's example is really on point, as you sort of discern, Rob, which is she's awestruck by all the systems of the body, the auditory system, the visual system, the heart, you know, and they are incredible. And awe does this vital work of opening the mind to the awareness of all the systems around us. Music is a system, right? It's all these notes creating sound and meaning. And when we feel awe, we pick up those themes in music.
Talking to Dacher Keltner, his new book is called Awe, The New Science of Everyday Wonder and How It Can Transform Your Life. We had a call from Marissa who couldn't stay on the line, who says, I practice mindfulness and can get myself to have an awe-type feeling on my own. Did anyone in your studies demonstrate that as well?
Yeah, you know, it's that wonder of spirituality and contemplation, you know, and people find awe in ritual, in the church, in thinking about sacred texts, which is a form of contemplation or mindfulness. Very rich in the indigenous traditions. I learned from Dr. Yuria Saleedwin, who I interview in the book, an indigenous scholar, and in meditation and yoga. Yoga has a great tradition, thousands of years old, practiced by tens of millions, of kundalini, of like this awesome energy that you create with yoga. So a lot of the contemplative or mindful traditions, one of the things they're after is to give us a chance to feel awe and for good benefit.
One feeling of awe I remember, I was on the shores of Lake Superior at night, moonless night, great sky. I just read about ancient Incans like using the Milky Way as part of their astronomy and calendars and stuff. And I look up and there's the Milky Way. And this sense like they were looking at thousands of years ago and people a thousand years from now will be looking up at that connection with something bigger than ourselves, maybe more permanent than ourselves. Is that part of awe?
You know, if the reader were to take one idea from this book, it's to connect to things that are bigger, as you said, Rob, than yourself. We are in a self-focused time, you know, in this culture, to a lot of detriment, or it causes a lot of problems, self-focus. Awe makes us open to things that are bigger than ourselves, right? The galaxy, an ecosystem, a group of fans. Oh, they're the Packer fans. I'm part of that group. A musical piece. And I think, you know, part of our hunger right now in our culture is for that, is to reawaken our thinking about what are the big things that I want to connect to in life. They're all different for every individual. And awe points us in the direction.
I got to say, my assumption coming in, Dacher, is awe, yeah, that's lovely, but it's going to find us when it finds us. Clearly, reading your book, you make the case that no, we can go out and find it. Can you give us some like practical steps? How can we go cultivate some awe maybe tonight?
Yeah, you know, first just allow yourself some time. Just don't label things. Open your mind. Ask questions and go on walks to places that might surprise you or be a little mysterious and different. Tell awe stories. One of my favorites is, you know, with whomever you're with, just ask what their first childhood experience of awe was and see what it tells about them. Look out at clouds in the sky and the light, right? Look, or storms passing over in Wisconsin or the snow. Pick a piece of music. I love this, where I ask people whom I teach, like, what's a piece of music that really brought tears to you and why? And share that with some other people or listen to it yourself. So many, you know, and of course, meditation and spiritual practice. So many ways to get there for this invaluable, essential emotion.
Then I want to bring things home. You use science to study awe. You also talk about how the emotion of awe has inspired scientists over the years. We think of science, oh, it's this rational, reasonable step-by-step thing. You say emotions and awe in particular are vital to science.
Yeah, you know, and in fact, not only science, but a lot of the great thinking in the world begins with an awe-inspiring epiphany. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, you know, thought about society and the Industrial Revolution, was like, oh my God, it's a disaster, and advocated for something else. Scientists are always moved by awe, or many, very often. Newton and Descartes, their minds were blown by rainbows, and they did a lot of math and color theory to figure out how it is that light bends through water and creates color spectrums. And then Darwin, you know, his thinking about evolution began in many ways in just being awestruck by, you know, the Amazonian forest and what he called tangled banks of flora and fauna by a river. So awe is often the beginning of our best thinking.
Dacher, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks for the great questions, Rob, and great to be part of Wisconsin once again.
Wonderful. That's Dacher Keltner, professor of psychology at the University of California, Berkeley, director of the Greater Good Science Center. He joined us to talk about his latest book. It's called Awe, The New Science of Everyday Wonder and How It Can Transform Your Life. We mentioned sharing a story of awe or a song that inspires awe in you or whatever. Still time for you to do that. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or email us, ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org, with your story of a moment of awe in your own life.